Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insights segment. I'm Harold Fisher. There is nothing like the smell of a new car, new leather, bouncy, comfortable seats, and the feeling of accomplishment out of the old hoopty and into a new set of wheels. But these days, getting into a newly or nearly new car is a serious financial commitment, from subcompact economy cars to big baller luxury automobiles. Cars have never been more expensive, and if you want one, is now the time to buy. And what should you know before you do? Well, joining me with the answers to those questions and much more are Randy Payton, consumer expert and founder and publisher of the Decisive Media Network, and Susan Hogan, consumer investigative reporter with News 4 Washington. And of course, you, our listener, give us a call if you have questions about buying a new car or a used car or cars in general. If you want to lease one or take a look at what your options are for getting into a new set of wheels, what do you do? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Randy, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just fine. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Harold, I am great. I'm missing you in person, though.
Absolutely. I'm missing you, too. And I'm missing, you know, I did want to see your new Ferrari. How's it doing?
You're so funny. I would be like the coolest mom in our neighborhood, let me tell you.
Of that, I have no doubt. Fire engine head, hair blown in the wind, the whole bit. But
I can see it now.
Me too. So, Susan, what do you think? You know that cars are expensive, but why are they so expensive right now?
Right. So it's so funny, you guys, because I have a 17-year-old who just got his license like 6 months ago. And it's like, so mom, like, do you think I can afford a Tesla? And I'm like, what? Like, what planet are you on? And so it's so funny when your producer called us, Harold, and asked me if I would do this segment, because we literally are in the process of looking for a used car for Jack. I mean, when I say used, I mean like very used. And his brother and sister each have a car. And so, you know, we're even contemplating whether to, you know, sell theirs to him because they are so expensive. And I'm sure Randy can back me up on this one. You know, we've reported on this microchip shortage. Well, you know, we've been hearing about shortages for so many things. And at first I was like, come on, another shortage. But this is a real thing. And we learned that back in June, like these microchips that are used in cars, there could be over 100 of them in new cars. And so at the height of the pandemic, what happened was microchips, you know, the manufacturers pivoted from making microchips for cars because suddenly, you know, a lot of the big, you know, Detroit manufacturers shut down for COVID reasons, pandemic reasons. And so they pivoted and started making microchips for what? Well, for what we were using more of now, our, you know, laptops, devices for home. So suddenly you saw, you know, when things started to turn around and the pandemic started to kind of, you know, normalize somewhat, well, people were now suddenly back into the market of buying cars. And the problem was the manufacturers weren't ready and they weren't up and ready to get back up to speed. So you had a shortage of new cars. When we went out to some car dealerships, oh my gosh, and I'm sure you guys saw this too, lots were empty. We went out to one out in Western Virginia a little bit, and he literally had one brand new car and two used cars on his lot. And this was a big Chevy dealership. Mm. They just couldn't keep them. So with that, it's a supply and demand issue. And
yeah.
So suddenly used cars became super expensive. And that's what we're seeing. And I have not seen that come down yet.
Yeah, it looks like your son may be pulling a red wagon for a while. You know, Randy, what's your take on it? I remember during, as Susan was saying, during the pandemic, we started to see not just places like, you know, CarMax and some of the big dealers, but even some of those roadside dealerships, those privately owned dealerships, they started running out of inventory too.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, and also you had the car delivery services too that popped up, that where you could do all your financing and buying online and it delivered to you. A lot of times they have more inventory, Carvana and some of them, Vroom, because they're dealing with a national inventory as opposed to just one local inventory. So if you're looking for a car and you can't find it locally, you might have to go to a national source. I think even Amazon Cars has a national database where you could search dealer inventories around the country. But like Susan said, the average dealership has about one-third of what they normally have at this time of year, which usually people ask, what's the best time to buy a car? Usually the end of the month when the new cars come out in the summer, the end of the year car buying season, or the end of the year when dealers have to really clear their lots and they get their biggest commission. So, you know, right now, used cars are averaging about what new cars used to average.
Why is that?
Well, people don't want to pay the high prices because dealers don't have the incentive now to offer big discounts. And people are paying sticker or even above. I mean, if you go to some of the sources like True Car, Edmunds and stuff, you can actually see what a car, the MSRP is, the manufacturer suggested the retail price. Also, you can see the price the car is averaging in your area, which might even be a few thousand above the MSRP.
So
people are looking at those numbers and they're like, okay, let me just go out and buy a used car. And, you know, because I can't really afford the price of the new car. Even though, it's ironic, because even though right now a lot of the new cars, almost all of them, have a lot of the new safety technology that will save your life on these highways, you know, like the lane keeping assist, the adaptive cruise controls. And those things are important, too, because if you're driving on the Beltway with all these, you know, there's just so much traffic out here. You want to have a car that can literally save your life and avoid accidents.
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about buying cars. Is this the time to buy a new car or a used car? If you want one, what are your options? How do you know that you're getting a good deal? How do you know if you're not being, as they say, taken for a ride? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Susan, we often see low interest rates being offered. And so if you have a decent credit, is this the right time to buy? As Randy just suggested, we are now in November, not so much the end of the month, but certainly close to the end of the year. What's your take on the whole financing piece and whether or not this is the right time to buy?
Yeah, and Randy was absolutely right when he talked about, you know, when to buy the car and, you know, towards the end of the season, the beginning of, you know, and all of that. Absolutely. And the thing is that we were seeing is that because of the new car, the shortage out there, a lot of those incentives have gone away. If you've noticed, a lot of car dealership ads, the big ads, aren't on as often and advertised as often. They cannot offer, you know, these big incentives right now, even if you've got amazing credit, because they don't have the inventory for you right now. You know, it is getting better for sure. And then some of the larger, more, you know, the dealerships that can buy from, you know, all over the country and get cars shipped here, like Randy said, you know, you're better off trying to deal with them. And you know, with the financing, as I always say too with my kids, you know, everyone, and they ask me this, should I lease or should I buy? And I don't have an easy answer for that, because it really, it depends on you and depends on what you can afford and what you, you know, what you're comfortable with. There is not a right or wrong. I truly don't believe that. I've done both, and I've liked both. And my both of my kids right now own their cars. Let me preface it. We own their cars.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And they pay a portion of it because they just graduated from college too. And Jack, as I said, is looking for a car. So, you know, I think that, you know, obviously whenever you do have good credit, it does certainly help you. So, yes, you should, you know, you always thought, and Randy could back me up on this too, you know, when you had good credit, you can go to any dealership and you could basically say, hey, nope, I'm not going to take that. I'm going to find a better deal somewhere else. Right now, it's a little tough to find those deals. But, you know, it's extremely important. And the only thing that I also would say too, you know how, I mean, the real estate market is like this too. I mean, there's not a shortage. Well, I guess there is actually a shortage because there's just so many buyers out there, and people are getting way over asked for their houses. And what are they doing? What are the buyers doing that I think is horribly wrong, but they have no choice because of the competition? They're not getting house inspections. They're bypassing that, going right to the sale and buying the house. And I think a lot of people, same thing when you're buying a car, don't do that.
Yeah, I was about to say, don't do that. Ooh.
Absolutely not. Like, absolutely not. If you are feeling pressure that you got to buy that car, that used car, you know, right now, because if you don't buy it, Mr. Smith, someone else is going to scoop it up, you know, tonight in another hour or whatever for, you know, 10,000 above ask. Well, then let Mr. Smith take it. Mm-hmm. You got to go and have an independent mechanic inspect that vehicle. Do not fall for that, because that is, you just cannot fall for the hype. You just got to take a deep breath and absolutely 100% get that car inspected by a mechanic. Do you agree with me, Randy, on that?
I definitely agree with you. And you got to have patience too these days.
Yeah.
More patience. Because generally, the National Dealer Association does a study every year on car buyers, and an average of 7 out of 10 car buyers usually buy on the impulse. They're just driving by, you know, the dealership, and they drive in, and they usually buy something that they may not want or need or doesn't fit in their budget. But now, even with the shortage, it hasn't stopped manufacturers from launching new vehicles. So there's a lot of nice new stuff out there these days, but you got to have patience. Get on the waiting list. Order the car. Wait for it to come. You know, you're not going to get it the day that you want it. You're not going, might not get it right now, but you can get it if you have patience. Hmm. You might be able to get it at the manufactured price if you have enough patience.
Let me.
And you might not get the right color either, but you know,
right.
Get on that list while you can.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about buying a new car or a used car. You want one, but what's the best way to go about it? Randy calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Randy. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been in the car business since 1979, right here in Marlow Heights. And I've never seen it like this before. And she was right about the chip. Now, waiting for a car right now, you're still going to have to pay the overprice. I believe this is going to go on for another at least 9 months. And when they catch up, when the chip catches up to the car, then if you purchase the car now and pay $3,000 and $4,000 over the price, you're going to be upside down in that car when it catches up. But right now, we all have to ride, and sometimes we have to sacrifice. Now, Taiwan makes the chips for these cars, but China and Japan gets the most of those chips, and they're holding on to the chip. We have a plant in the United States, but they can only make a chip to cover maybe 300 or 400 cars, and it takes 6 months for them to make this one big chip for those cars. So it's going to be around for a while, and if you can hold out, hold out. But if you need, and used cars, the reason the used cars are so high right now is because the dealers, they're charging, the auctions are charging the used car people $3,000, $4,000, and $5,000, and $6,000 over. So this is going to be passed on to you if you want to purchase a used car. So I just say get ready, and if you can hold out, hold out. But if you need a ride, just know that you're going to have to pay the price.
Wow.
For these cars.
Randy, thank you so much for your input. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about buying cars. You want a new set of wheels or a used set of wheels? Michael, calling from D.C. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to share. I grew up in North Carolina, and I actually used to sell cars in the summer. And typically what I do is I'll take my wife to the dealership in the D.C. area, let her find what she wants, and I'll call North Carolina, find the same car, same features, normally about three. So what I'm looking to do this round, because the used prices have gone way up, is I'm looking to sell her car up here, go to North Carolina, take a bus trip, train trip, whatever. I've even had them to deliver the car to D.C. and sign the paperwork in my yard. And try to balance out, you know, the difference there.
What is your wife driving?
She's driving a Volvo XC90.
What year?
2016 right now.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. What do you think about that, Randy? Yeah,
so I owe twice.
Done it with I mean, that's a good strategy. I also would think about, consider the fact that this may affect the price may affect you buy when you buy a used car from a dealership, but it may not necessarily be the case by when you're buying from a personal owner. You know, so you might want to look at some of those personal owner sites, because a lot of times I always recommend to somebody, don't trade your car in. Don't trade it and sell it personally. You're probably going to get, chances are you're going to get more money for it than you will from a dealer if you sell it directly.
Michael, thank you so much. Good luck to you and your wife. Need to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget to download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live. It's in its entirety. If you're on the phone, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. More of your phone calls after the break. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds on Sirius XM. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about buying a new car. You want one. You've been wanting one for a while. Is this the time to do it? Should you wait? Maybe you want a used car. Is this the time to do it? Can you wait? Well, for the answers to those questions and much, much more, my guests are Susan Hogan, consumer investigative reporter with News 4 Washington, and Randy Payton, consumer expert and founder and publisher of the Decisive Media Network. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So I have a question for you, Susan. We've been hearing this since, you know, the very beginning, and, you know, where, you know, women, they go to the dealership and they always say they're taken for a ride, they get overcharged, you know, the whole bit. From your perspective, even as a consumer reporter, as an educated consumer, as someone in the know, a big brain woman, do you think there is an advantage, even though you know your stuff, to taking a man with you as a strategy?
I love that you call me a big-brained woman.
Well, you are. I, you know, that's why we have you on the show. You're one of my favorite people. You know, because you know stuff.
Well, I tell my kids that all the time, and my husband, and they just laugh. So you know, it's funny because you know I've been married for a while, so I've always gone in with my husband and ironically, we always have bought cars together. So dealers love seeing us come in because we've bought two cars at the same time sometimes. And you know what? I don't know the answer to that. I go in educated. And, you know, and I have always told all of my girlfriends as well, you know, because they'll always ask me, you know, what do I need to do? Can you come with me? And I'm like, you know, listen, arm yourself with good information. And what you also want to do is look at reviews, you know, and or ask for referrals, ask for recommendations. Where did your friends go? And you don't want to go to a dealership that has a reputation for that. And trust me, people talk. And if you go online and you look at the reviews from these dealerships, and if you see a lot of bad reviews from women, well, maybe that tells you something. You know, and I don't think that I... You know, that's the best advice that I can tell people. For me, I go in and, you know, I believe it or not, I just, you know, I look at the price, obviously, the color, obviously, and I'm looking for safety. And I think, you know, I will walk around for a while. And if a salesman comes up and I don't kind of, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to like this person. I'm all set for now, and I'll keep wandering around and until I kind of feel comfortable and maybe see someone that I'm like, well, maybe I'll check out this person. So I haven't had that issue yet, but you know, for folks, I really, as I said, and I'll reiterate, those ratings that you can find online about car dealers are gold, and really can give you an inside look as to how they treat their customers.
Yeah. Randy, how do you know that you're getting a good deal and that you're not being taken for a ride with things that you really don't need to pay for?
Well, today, you have all the tools and technology to be able to actually research the actual cost of a car and all the options you want, and you should do that online before you walk into a showroom. In fact, I always advise my audiences, don't buy a car from don't test drive a car at the same dealership you want to buy it from. Test it at another dealership so you already know what you want, and so when you walk into the dealership you want to buy it from, you already know what it's going to cost. You already know what the car is going to cost, the options, everything. So, and the other thing is that if you're a member of a credit union, you can go through their United Buying Services. Their buying services that actually help negotiate for you and make sure that you get a good deal that's usually under the sticker price or what the dealer paid for the car. With the chip shortage, that may not necessarily be the case. You might want to pay an actual manufacturer's suggested retail price. But also, I think, too, things have changed as far as women buyers, because nowadays there are more women auto writers. More women who are actually test driving and educating other women about cars. So before it was rare for a woman to be educated because nobody was really targeting providing the content. I know the first thing I did when I started my magazine, I hired a woman editor and women writers, and I attracted a lot more women readers to the publication. And so you know when there are more women out there that are educated, the dealers can't say, oh, you're a lone wolf, I don't have to deal with you. You know, you got all your facts together. But nowadays, they're more educated women.
And this is, you know, one of the things, for example, you know, particularly for people who are new to the process. Well, we know that, you know, tags, title, destination, for example, you have to pay for that. But are there other things that you don't have to pay for? And I'm not talking about... You know, 17-inch wheels versus 18-inch wheels, or you know. But I know that there are add-ons, and I'll give you an example. I helped my mother 5 years ago buy a Honda SUV, and the salesperson was trying to push a $600 undercarriage protection. And he tried to talk me into it for a good 5 minutes. I mean, just really, you know, when I came out of there, I was gleaming like a diamond. I was under so much pressure. But, you know, I resisted, and my mother finally said, if my son says no, then I say no. Well, my mother still owns the car, and the car is in great shape, and she saved $600 for the undercarriage protection. That kind of thing. Are there any other things that you would recommend, or Susan, either one of you, that you can say, you don't need to do that?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, people ask me about should I get an extended warranty or not, and I follow Dave Ramsey a lot, financial expert, and he's always said if you can't afford to repair your car, then you can't afford the car, and I'm kind of a firm believer of that as well. Now, my husband, he buys extended warranty, but he's careful about which ones he buys, and we do not ever buy it through the manufacturer or the dealership. He's a active duty military guy, so we buy it through USAA.
Mm.
But, you know, you have to read the fine print on these warranties, because oftentimes they don't cover what you think that they're going to cover. We bought them, we did on tires. So he bought an extended warranty on our tires. And because we had the run flats, not in the current cars, but what we did have. And those run flats are very expensive. And so we did do that. And thankfully, we actually got a return on that extended warranty. So you just have to pick and choose. And they're just like when you're buying a car, you can negotiate the price. And look around. There are third parties out there that have these things. But again, just be really careful with those. Really, really read the fine print. When it comes to warranties in general on anything, you want to find out what they don't cover. Because you know what they're going to – you definitely know what they cover, because that's the sales pitch. They're going to tell you all about that. Find out what they don't cover. And I think you'd be very surprised if they don't cover more than they cover.
Good idea. I've purchased extended warranties for a high-end car. Years ago, I had a 7 Series BMW, and my extended warranties paid for themselves.
You needed it.
during the first visit. You know, that ultimate driving machine, there's a reason why they say that. Because right. When the front end goes out, oh, Lord have mercy. So,
and also, you should, you can look for cars now. Some cars... Most of the things that you need are standard. Look for cars that if you need four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, look for it as a standard as opposed to an option. You know, if you want adaptive cruise control, a lot of cars have these things as standard as opposed to you getting a base car without all this, and then you got to keep negotiating for all these different options.
Interesting.
Right.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dar, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I was calling in reference to a car. I have a 2013 Hyundai Elantra. I have over 240,000 miles on my vehicle.
Wow, good for
you. I need a new car like yesterday. But with that being said, I'm not going to spend those high prices on a new car. So I'm going to wait it out. But in the meantime, I need to find a good auto mechanic that can keep my vehicle running. Do you have any suggestions?
I always recommend that, even though the dealers might charge more, I always recommend the best certified mechanics, because if you don't get a good certified mechanic that knows your vehicle, you could have running more problems later.
Susan?
Yeah, I 100% agree with Randy. I would have said the exact same thing. You know, it's especially with a Hyundai at 200,000 miles. I mean, that's their big selling point, that they last this long. And congratulations for doing that. And hold on to it for as long as you can, because those cars can last long. But I think that going to a dealer with a certified mechanic is your way to go. But you can also certainly look at reviews and other. There are good mechanics out there and other garages out there. But just make sure that they are certified.
Yeah.
Okay, make sure they're certified. But you don't have any that you can recommend?
Well, we probably
we really can't.
So on the air. Okay. That probably wouldn't be the best for us. But I will say, and I agree, I had a Honda Accord, and it finally died on me at about 233,000 miles. I mean, it literally died. It was a dealer service center kept, which is why it lasted as long as it did. And I have a 100-mile-a-day commute round trip. And so if your car, I'm sure your car is paid for, and while you may need a car, I agree with Randy and Susan. If you don't have a car note, the money that you will spend in taking it to the dealer and just making sure that it stays on the road until you're ready, I think that really is truly the best investment.
Because also, since these the Elantra and other Hyundais and Kias came out, they have updated their software just like you update your software on a phone or your computer. So the dealer would have more access to updated software programs and other equipment to keep your car running, as opposed to an independent mechanic. They may not be privy to that information.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dar.
You're welcome. Yes. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. Let's talk about leasing for a moment. Leasing has changed considerably over the years. I've leased two vehicles back in the 90s at a time when they were allowing as much as 20,000 miles a year. Now we're talking considerably less. Your thoughts about, you spoke about it earlier, Susan, I'll start with you. Your thoughts about leasing, pros and cons?
Well, you know, I think it's exactly what you said. It's, you know, the mileage. Right now with COVID, I leased my current car right now, and it was great because I had to get a good price. I'll lower the mileage. And thankfully that worked in my favor because I haven't had to drive it for quite a long time. And so if you know what your, and be realistic, don't be like, well, you know, because you can do 12,000 miles, 15,000 miles. Or you could pay for extra mileage when you're there as well before you actually take it off the lot. But be realistic and don't just say because you want the lower price. Well, like, I think I can do it under 50. I think I can make it to 12,000 a year. I think I can do that. No, because you're going to end up paying, I think it's like 26 cents maybe. And you could correct me, Randy, is that I think that's about the average 27 cents. Oh, you know, once you get, you know, past your mileage is how much you're going to pay for it. And it's a lot. So you really have to be realistic about that. And I also tell folks, you know, don't go into leasing a car and thinking about what you can pay for your monthly payment. Don't negotiate your monthly payment. Negotiate that car just like you're buying it. And that's important because I think a lot of people go in thinking, well, they can't negotiate the price of the car because they're going to be leasing and they advertise the monthly payment. No, still negotiate the price of the car. You have every right to. And also, you know, you have to put a down payment on a leased car these days, too. So there's a lot of, you know, there is still a lot of money out of pocket. You know, it's nice to have the lower monthly payments because you definitely do than if you were to buy a car. But, you know, it still can, in the end, cost you a little bit more. And especially now where you could, you know, you don't have the option to sell a car because you have a lease. You know, with the used car sales right now booming, you know, unfortunately, if you lease the car, you're not going to be able to take advantage of that.
Your thoughts Randy?
There's another little trick that I've used in the past. Because I can justify my business leasing the car, you have to talk to your accountant. If you have a business that can justify leasing a car, it is better to have the business lease the car. You pay the note to the business. The business can write it off because if they can justify that the use of the car is part of your business, the business writes it off. So in the end, you're really not losing anything because you're not really paying for it.
That's fantastic.
Being used as a writer. I did that once. I for my 50th birthday, I went out and treated myself to a Cadillac XLR, you know, a convertible hardtop. And I sold it a year later and lost $20,000 on it. And then I went and let the business lease the XLRV, which is $100,000. I didn't lose anything on it. I kept it a couple of years, but I paid the business the note. The business paid for it. The business was able to write it off.
Hmm. Well, looks like there's an option for your son, Susan.
Well, I don't own a business. So I think he's out of money. I want to work in Randy's business.
Yeah, how about that? But to that point about the down payment, and this goes back to the purchase. Susan, how much would you, if you're not paying cash, for example, how much would you recommend percentage-wise that you put down on a car when you're purchasing it? And what
if
difference?
You're purchasing?
Yes.
Well, you know, I don't know if there's necessarily a rule of thumb. It really comes down to what you can afford and what you want your monthly payments to come down to. So, you know, and that's something that we're talking about right now in my family. You know, should Matt sell his car to Jack? You know, he's the older brother to the younger brother. But then, you know, does that take away some of his buying power if he wants to go and lease or buy a new car because he won't have that much cash in his hand? You know, my rule of thumb is $3,000, but that's always been something that we've put down on all of our cars. You know, I think especially for kids these days, it's awfully hard for them to save that kind of money. But, you know, if they can, that's a good thing. But you've got to come to the table with something. I mean, you're going to pay for it in the long run if you don't. You know, and I totally agree with what Randy said. Don't trade in your car. Sell that privately outright. You're going to make a lot more money that way and gives you some more money in your pocket, if, you know, as opposed to going to a dealer and selling it with them.
One other thing that I wanted to share with both of you, and this worked for me, but certainly for your average driver, probably not recommended. When I bought, and I drive a Toyota Avalon now, I bought this add-on thing. It was called Oil Change for Life, and it was $900 when I purchased the car. And for a lot of people, they would think, well, golly, that's a lot of money, right on, you know, on top of the price of the car for an average driver. But I am not an average driver.
Mm-hmm.
And at just Monday through Friday, with a round trip of 100 miles, that's 500 miles a week. And so if your average driver is doing what, maybe three, maybe at the very most four oil changes a year, I do about six or seven because I'm doing so much driving. And the oil change for my car is approximately $75. So within a year and a half, that $900 was eaten up. I still own the car, and I no longer pay for the oil change. Whenever it's due, I just go in, and I don't pay for an oil change. I have not paid for an oil change in years, and it's still free. So it worked for me. Another thing to think about, if the dealership offers that incentive based on your driving habits.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. And just make sure, though, because it's probably through a third party, perhaps, that, you know, if they are bought out, if they go under, what happens with that? So just make sure you read the fine print, you know, going forward. You sound like you're set. But
yeah, it was directly through the dealer.
Yeah.
It was directly through the dealer. I did want to ask about something that is unusual. I've never heard of this before. And I'll start with you, Randy. What is a car subscription?
A car subscription?
Subscription. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not that familiar with that service.
Are you familiar with it at all, Susan? Where you can get a new car every month.
I have never. No, I have not heard about that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I was looking this up. If you wanted a new car every month, you could certainly get one, and more car makers and other entities.
Mm-hmm. I think you're talking more like it's like a car share service.
Not a car share. It's definitely where you can get a new car, but for a month. But it's expensive, and if money is no option, I mean, you literally could drive 12 cars a year, one a month.
As you're talking, I'm looking at it a little bit. Yeah, I mean, they're similar to leasing programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only in the sense that there's no personal ownership, but the terms are generally far shorter, and they are more flexible. The only thing that I would question is your insurance, and how does that work? Because, you know, like every month you have to update your insurance. I mean, it must be relatively new. I have not heard too much about it, and I have no idea.
Because I was kind of looking at it as well, where I guess it includes the insurance, but the other thing is, again, it just seems to be, if you want to look cute every month, but, you know, you've got a new registration, new license, the whole bit. I don't know. It just seems to be more of a hassle than, you know, than anything else. And I know that Cadillac does it, BMW does it, and there are some other vehicle makers that do the same thing. But the big issue for higher end cars is that money would definitely not have to be, you know, an issue. And so that may be only for a certain percentage of the population. And so something that you would definitely need to look into. But I would also say that the other consideration, and I think it was touched upon earlier, and Susan, you know, touched upon this, if you can't afford it, you may be able to get into a certain vehicle, but can you afford to stay in it?
Correct.
Gasoline is disrespectfully high right now.
Oh, it's awful.
And repairs and everything else. And even, you know, just driving around in the Washington metro area, and we know that people do, you know, particularly they do well when it comes to salaries here. But sometimes I wonder, my goodness, what do you do for a living that you can not only drive that, but that you can maintain it?
Well, you know, too, as we get as there are more hybrids and electric vehicles on the road, that's less gas being bought. And so what the oil companies are going to do, they're just going to lower production in order to decrease the prices.
For gasoline-powered vehicles
have much longer ranges. So, you know, you could literally, you know, if you're, you know, 35, 40, 40 miles on a full charge, you're only driving 10 miles or 15 miles to get to work, you can literally just, I mean, even if it's a plug-in hybrid, not have to use any gas unless you take longer trips.
Right. And then I know we're getting close to the time, but be super vigilant about open recalls, because used cars, there is nothing illegal about selling a used car with an open recall. And recalls are only for one reason. There's a safety issue along with that. New cars, there's a law that you can't sell a new car with an open recall. And believe it or not, yes, some new cars do come with open recalls. But, you know, check that and demand the dealership repair that vehicle before you take it off the lot, or even if you're buying it from a private party. So repairs are free. There's no excuse for that.
Ah, yeah. So if your airbag needs to be adjusted, or if there does need to be some kind of electronic updating of software and the like. Certainly.
Yeah, because if you actually, if you're the first owner and you bought the car from the dealership, most likely you will get a recall notice. But if you bought it secondhand from another buyer, you may not get that notice, that is a recall on that car. But you could research it online, put the model year, the car, and all of that to find out whether or not there are any recalls on it.
And which brings me to another question. Carfax, is that accurate?
Yeah. It's very accurate, but they have been known to have either errors or some missing information. So, you know, it's still worth getting it. And if a car dealership does not provide you with one, demand it, because they should. And they are. I mean, they're fairly accurate, but you still should double check that information. And as Randy said, you can check, you can go on safercar.gov, which is the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration's website, and simply put in, you know, the make and model, the VIN number, whatever it may be that you have access to make sure that what you're looking at is safe.
Mm. Well, boy, I tell you, this has been, you know, quite informative. And, you know, my car is going to be paid off this month, and I'm going to keep her. I'm not doing anything with her.
Good for you.
Absolutely. But I tell you, when the weather warms up again, Susan, you know, I want to ride in that red Ferrari or the black Bentley or whichever one you and your husband have picked up this summer.
Oh, Harold. Oh, you're funny. I may have a big brain, but I do not have a big budget.
Hey, how about that? And you know, being the frugal fanny that you are, you know, we'll keep having you on the program, saving people money and keeping them from being ripped off. I appreciate your time, Susan. Always good
always
to
love
talk
being
to
on.
You. Randy, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on as well.
Thank you.
All right. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, November 1st. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.